Thank you for joining us inside the Last Video Store, the show where I, Alexi Toliopoulos, talk to cool, funny, interesting, exciting people about their favorite movies, and we do so in the style of an old school video store rental combo, including a staff pick recommendation from my big old movie brain based on their taste, based on their selections. And kicking off this year, we've been doing something very fun, haven't we, Em?
Yeah, we have.
Which is we've been rewinding that tape all the way back a couple of years and putting back out some of our favourite episodes.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it actually, revisiting.
Rewinding. this episode this week is the Angela White episode. Angela White, one of the biggest, most acclaimed stars in adult filmmaking in the world, and a huge get for this podcast.
Yeah, that was huge. But I wasn't actually working here at the time, so why did you want to re-release this one?
I wanted to re-release one. There's a few reasons why. Some of them more obvious than the other, obviously. But I would say the big reason, this was very early in our run.
Mm-hmm.
We recorded this with Angela before the podcast even started coming out.
Right.
So she was in town and the Batuta Advocate, who helped make this show possible and put it together, they had said, we're starting a new podcast. We think you might be interested in it. You'll like Alexi at least.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'd love to do this. I'd love to talk about film.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really early in the run. And to me, it was a first episode where I figured out what the show was, where I go, okay, cool, it should be this. It should be a little bit of chat about the about their work, but treat it really seriously, like about, you know, it'll be funny because I'm funny, but treat the chat really seriously.
Yep.
And the research, or like how I want to talk to them about the artistry of all their work.
Yep.
And then talk about the movies and kind of relate stuff back to the movies.
That's and so interesting.
I think this was the one where I like, oh, I nailed it for
yeah,
the first time.
Because I've gone back and listened to some really early episodes, like the first few, and the format is slightly different. Like, you ask a few questions.
Yes.
I think you make them pledge exclusivity.
My
to
God,
the
don't bring that.
Store.
Yeah, that, all those things are going, they make me cringe now. But I still think they're funny.
They're great.
Yeah,
they're great.
Yeah. But it was this was one where they kind of eased into the format,
yep.
And I go, ah, this makes sense. And especially with someone so high profile and so interesting and like truly a fascinating person who's making such a big impact in their career.
Mm. I was She's awesome.
I felt like with this interview, I stepped up to the plate in a really good way.
Yeah.
Where I'm going, cool, this is someone who maybe has not had like an artist interview from someone like me before, and then I felt like I could give them an artist interview.
Yeah.
It was just really fun, and I love Angela. She was so fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
She's always been very nice and supportive since this interview, has shared a lot of my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just I could not speak more highly about her. And I just love, love, love this chat. Like if there was one episode of this podcast where I go, you should listen to it,
mm-hmm.
I would personally put this one well at the top.
Yeah.
Just love this episode. Love talking to Angela. It's great. I'm so glad to revisit it. She's got great picks. Another little thing, I gave her two options at the end of choices. And
yes.
I cut out the first choice because I'm like, the second one's way better.
Yeah, right.
And then I re-recommended that movie to Ione Skye.
Yes.
The one that I banded for this episode, because in the moment I go, actually, Bound is way better.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I just revealed what the staff pick was.
Oh,
but, you
my
know,
God.
Enjoy the journey to get there. But this is the Angela White episode. Enjoy it. In the meantime, I'm about to kick off Australian tour with my new comedy festival show. It's called VHS. It is all about my love of film, obviously. I'm going to Adelaide in March. Then I'm going to Melbourne, then I'm coming to Sydney, then I'm going to Brisbane. I want to do more cities as well. So let it be known in the comments on your Spotify or whatever if you want me to come to you, because I would love to come to you and do my show.
Do you want to come over to my parents' place and do a little show there?
I think
there?
Your dad would love it if I performed my show there. Does he have the AV tech? I'll do it. And then at the end of this month, January 24th, I'm hosting a screening of All About My Mother at the Sydney Opera House for the Saturday Morning Film Club that I've been running there. It's our first one for the year. All About My Mother, my favorite fucking movies of all time. Pedro Almodovar, my ultimate hero. And I'm joined by Goran Stolevski, who is one of the best filmmakers in Australia right now. He did Of an Age. He did Housekeeping for Beginners. He made You Won't Be Alone with Noomi Rapace. Great filmmaker and a huge Pedro fan. And I got him to come host this one for me because on his episode of The Last Video Store, we talked about Pedro Almodovar and bonded over it. So, like, we got to get Goran into that. So, really fun. Link in the show notes. Come buy tickets. Come join us to see one of the best movies ever made. That's very rare. It doesn't stream anywhere at the moment. You've got to come see it on the big screen. That's All About My Mother. Enjoy this chat with Angela White. She is so fucking cool and such an icon.
And enjoy if you're watching the video as well.
Oh, yes.
Obviously stunning.
Absolutely. The Spotify for this on Spotify video. Go watch it now. It's so fun.
Well worth it.
Switch to video mode if you're on Spotify. thank you for joining us. And just a huge thanks again to Angela White for supporting this show so much, but especially in those early days. Angela White, thank you so much for joining me here in the Last Video Store. I'm very excited to talk to you here today.
I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure to have you in the store picking out some films, but I'm going to have to sign you up to our system first.
Okay.
So I'm going to need to ask you a couple of questions. I need your name for the record.
Angela White.
Okay, I'm popping it in. I'm going to need a piece of ID, but as soon as I put you into our system...
You need a piece of ID? All right, I don't think I can get
only one. We only need one piece of ID. But I put you into our system, and it looks like you might have more films in our store than anybody else. They're all in one section behind our beaded curtain area.
My favorite area.
and I want to ask you, you've got this great quote that comes up here from a Deadly Beast interview you did, where they call you the Meryl Streep of porn.
Yep.
How does it feel to get that title, have that quote about you?
It is, I mean, it's an honor.
It has to be, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an honor to have been recognized for my work.
Yeah, especially like compared to one of the great actresses, award-winning, your award-winning performer. That's why they called you that, because you won more, is it three times in a row?
So yeah, for Female Performer of the Year, I'm the only female to have won that three times and consecutively.
Far out.
Yeah.
So it must be like great to be recognized by your peers and like your colleagues right?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful feeling.
I think one thing I want to ask you about this, because I find it so interesting, like the idea of performance in pornography, because it's obviously it's a lot of hard work, but I'm interested to you, like, what are your thoughts on the idea of performance?
Well, here's the thing. My aim in every scene is to have as little performance as possible.
To be real?
For it to be as authentic as it can be. Now, obviously, if there's a camera involved, there is going to be a little bit of artifice. Mm-hmm. But my aim, especially when I'm directing and producing myself, is to make it feel like you're having the same kind of sex you would at home. Mm-hmm. But that I can't do that on every set, because there are, on some sets you have scripts and it's far more heavily directed, and some directors want to tell you which position to be in at all times and when to orgasm, and that's not really conducive to authentic connection and
that
real
naturalism
sex.
That you
exactly.
Want?
Yeah. So I mean, for me it would be more like I want to create documentaries.
Wow.
Like, or live action sport. You know, I want the people to be fucking, like, I want to have sex with my on-screen partner as if the cameras weren't there.
Is it like spontaneity? Is that what you're trying to capture as well?
That's what I want, because I feel like creating that space for spontaneity, that's where the real magic happens. And creating that space and an environment where your on-screen performers can really connect. I feel like that resonates through the screen, and I feel like that's what consumers want to see. Or at least I'll speak for myself as a porn consumer. Mm-hmm. I want to see two people having really great, passionate, connected sex. That's what I want to see.
Okay. I mean, as one of the few male podcasters that have actually had sex, I think that's probably what I'm after as well.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you want that intimacy, you want that. I guess it is like that naturalism, right?
Yes, exactly.
What do you have to do to like set that up? Or like, is there a process that you have to go to like find that, like, I guess that intimacy?
It starts from the ground up. Mm-hmm. So you're picking your talent very specifically, because there are performers in the industry that are better at getting to that place of vulnerability. So choosing partners that you already have a genuine connection with really
that chemistry,
helps.
Real chemistry.
Absolutely. And then creating an environment where they feel safe and comfortable. Then making sure things aren't heavily scripted. I mean, it's great. I shoot some heavily scripted porn and I have a lot of fun with that. It's just a different kind of product in the end. Mm. So when I'm shooting, my favorite stuff to direct is called gonzo, which comes from gonzo journalism. Mm-hmm. You break the fourth wall, you acknowledge that the camera's there. But gonzo as a term has kind of expanded in pornography. It's not just that old school sort of breaking the fourth wall. Gonzo's sort of become erroneously, I guess, an umbrella term for all sex scenes. So all sex releases, no scripts.
Oh, okay, yes.
So it would be...
no scenarios.
No scenario at all. There might be a little tease in the beginning. So the female performer, if it's heterosexual porn, might be wearing lingerie and do a little dance to the camera. Mm-hmm. But there won't be any kind of the plumber turns up and you've got to find a way to pay. None of that. So the little tease gets filmed, and then once the performers are on set together... just fuck how you want to fuck.
Wow, okay.
So that's my favorite.
So it's no, like, minimal planning.
Exactly.
Minimal planning.
Exactly. I mean, because it is a production, there is still things that happen behind the scenes that the audience doesn't see. Obviously, you still have to go through compliance and you have to prove that everyone's over the age of 18. You have to fill out model releases, consent forms. You go through a boundary checklist. So there's still a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. But once everyone knows your partner's hard nose, yeses, what they like, what they dislike, what they want to do on that day, then within those boundaries, then do whatever you want in the moment.
Wow.
And that's what I think creates the most spontaneity,
yeah,
as you were saying, and the most genuine chemistry.
Can I ask, you're talking about as well, like, the scripted pornography.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to, like, acting in those, is it like a process you go to? Do you see like an acting coach? Do you like that? Did you try to get into a character? Like how does that work when it's less yourself?
Yeah, it really depends on the project, the director, what company you're shooting for. So for example, now I'm contracted with the biggest porn company in the world, Brazzers, and they do scenes. So we do scenes, which is, you know, one complete product, but it's just one sex scene.
Yep.
And then they're not really doing a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. They're really just focusing on those one scenes. And a lot of what they do is very campy and funny. They really focus
playing on the artifice.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I love those because you kind of get to lean into that those tropes. I like those porn tropes, like the pizza delivery guy turns up and you have no money to pay. Oh no, what are you gonna do? Here's a big sausage pizza. But so for those, there's no real need, I guess. Well, I mean, you could argue there's always like training yourself in acting is always going to benefit you. But the fact that it's kind of cringy and campy makes it even funnier.
Does it make it fun for you? Like to go into that goofy kind of comedic
mode? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's fun. And it's fun for me to be able to mix it up. Like doing the same thing every day would bore me as well. So having these different kinds of scenes that I shoot is a lot of fun. But I have shot feature-length films in porn, and I did end up winning Best Leading Actress for my role in Perspective.
Congratulations. Can you tell us about Perspective?
Yeah, it was a really tough role because I basically played two different people, because Perspective, it was basically a woman in an abusive relationship, and one half of the movie is told from the perspective of the woman, and then the other half of the perspective is the male perspective.
Oh, wow.
So it was...
That's like new wave shit.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So I had to play... So in one version, I'm the villain, and in one version, I'm the victim. So I actually did hire an acting coach for that. Yeah.
Yes.
And another movie that I did, Drive, which was similarly quite intense. Mm-hmm. I had a different acting coach, so I got two different styles of coaching. But it's not required for porn, but I'm always somebody that I like to learn new things.
You like to overachieve?
Yeah, I do. I like to hone in my craft. I really wanted to do a great job on those movies. And Perspective was the one that I did win Best Actress for. And I'm very
so
proud
cool.
of that.
Yeah, of course. You should be proud
Thank
of that.
Thank you.
Can I ask, like, what were the lessons you took in from, like, acting to go into that film? Like, were there any specific examples?
Yeah, the thing that I learned a lot of things, but how I benefited the most, because I've always been this person, if people have watched other interviews, you know, I just love gonzo, I just want to have real connection. But what was really interesting was when you get really deep into a character that is nothing like you, and then trying to have sex as that character. You get, you have sex in a different way too.
Really?
And yeah, you absolutely. Wow. So it's, I learnt a lot more about sex because this whole journey has been about me expressing and exploring my sexuality. In a way, it's kind of selfish. It's like, I want to do what I want. I want to have sex. Sex, I want all that. But having sex as someone else was really eye-opening to be like, okay, like it can feel different. You connect with someone differently when you're a different person, wow, or at least you're embodying a different character.
Wow. Can you, yeah. What do you mean? Like what were you noticing?
Well, there was one of the themes was really tough for me because, okay, so in, when we're doing the perspective of the victim, and there was a moment where I'm having sex with somebody, but it's sort of it was so tough because it was kind of non-consensual, but we're also creating a product that's supposed to be sexy. Yeah. That was the hardest one for me mentally because I'm like, how can I make this sort of seem obviously consensual, non-consent? Yeah. It was a consensual scene. But
how do you find that line?
It was performance-wise. How do I find that line where I'm like kind of enjoying it enough so that the audience can get off to it, but also portraying this moment where I'm having sex. I'm having sex with my husband, but it's sort of a little coercive and I'm just trying to do it so he doesn't, you know, like retaliate.
Mm.
That was really tough for me. That was a real head fuck as well. And then I guess when I was playing the villain, like using sex as a weapon.
Was it kind of cool to like play that, like the villainy of it?
I love playing the villain.
Yeah?
I love it. Yeah. The victim's hard for me because I don't feel victimized at all in my sexuality.
It's more of a stretch.
It's much more of a stretch.
Because it's, I guess it's about like the control, right?
Yeah. But being the villain, I love being the villain. I love doing femdom stuff as well. I love being in control. It's actually not part of my personal sexuality.
But the performative aspect of it? Yes.
Yeah, there's something very fun about having a man on his knees and him groveling and you know, like...
okay, I'm being sent there. I'm, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Something very, very fun about that.
Yeah, far out. And I'll say this. I've read lots of interviews of the actual Meryl Streep. She never said any shit like this. I think you've got a deeper insight than she does now.
Thank you.
And deeper insight, you can take that. Very deep, title for a movie. You can take it.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to send you out. You're all checked in here. I'm going to send you out to pick a couple of films. I'm going to get you to go into our new rental combo. One new release, which is any movie from the last 5 years. Yeah. We stretch what a new release is.
Okay, okay.
And then two weeklies. And then I'm going to supply you with a little staff pick at the end.
Okay, great.
New release.
All right. So, Angela, we've got your combo sitting in front of us. Let's start with our new release from our new release section. And I'll tell you this, if I was going to categorize this by genre, this film, to me, this was an instant classic. One of my favorite freaking movies in the last 10 years. I've seen it so many times. I would put this in the cult section, which is where I put the movies that I think have, you know, catered to a little audience around them. Tell me about what your first new release film is.
Uncut Gems.
Cult.
Uncut Gems by Josh and Benny Safdie, starring one of my actual heroes, Adam Sandler. Yeah. When did you first come across this movie? Did you see it in the cinemas?
I did see it in the cinemas.
In LA, because you didn't play in Australia at all in the cinema.
At the Grove. Oh, didn't play? Oh, my God.
No, we had it on Netflix.
Oh.
I actually did see a screener. Someone sent me an Academy screener that I couldn't watch.
It was great seeing it at the cinema.
Yeah, what's it? Because it's such a stressful movie.
I was stressed the entire time. I was on the edge of my seat. I was actually gripping the seat. Mm-hmm. I was so stressed. My heart was clenched. Mm-hmm. My chest was just... Yeah, I could barely breathe.
Oh my gosh.
It's actually quite awful.
It's a wonderful pick, then.
Yeah.
Can I ask, have you seen it since, or was that a one and done, you can't handle it again?
I would watch it again. Mm-hmm. I'd want to watch it again with someone who hasn't watched it because I want to be that weird person like looking to be like,
you could go, like, I need to see what they're feeling.
I just want to feel what they're feeling because it was so wonderful wonderful and horrible to watch it the first time. Mm-hmm. I was completely captivated. And the truth is, I don't watch a lot of movies or TV shows. And it's only because I'm obsessed with my job and I work so hard that I'm like,
how can you switch off watching something like that, right?
I actually, it would probably be beneficial for me to watch more films. So I'm I love the idea that you're going to give me something at the end.
Yeah,
maybe.
Thank God. I can hopefully switch you off.
Recommendation, and I'll have to let you know. But
I'll give you millions of recommendations if that's what you need. I need you to relax.
Yeah, I would love that. But this movie was just an incredible movie. From start to finish, there wasn't one point where I was bored.
Is this the kind of movie that you often get into, like that kind of like stressful, crimey type thriller?
No.
Wow, so complete escape.
Completely. This is not the kind of movie that I would normally want to watch or pick out, but I watched it and was taken by it.
Yeah, I really, really love this movie. I'd seen before this, the Safdie brothers had made two films before this. Oh, they'd made more than two films, but I had seen their previous two films, which is Heaven Knows What, which is like a great, another gritty urban New York underbelly type film. It's about heroin addicts in New York City that kind of like live in parks. And it's like what they do from that onto their next film, which is Good Time, starring Rob Pattinson. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh my gosh, you will love it. Okay. Another similarly very tense crime thriller. Rob Pattinson completely transforms into this movie. He plays a Greek guy. I'm Greek, so I was like, this is one of the best movies ever. To see Rob Pattinson be Greek, my God, a dream come true for me.
Okay.
So what I think they really do is they find like this authenticity to like who the surrounding characters are in New York City. Like in this film, there are so many oddballs, like so many weirdos, so many strange heads, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think there's that aspect of the film that makes it feel so lived in and like finds like this real, like a very specific point in New York to do it. Can I ask you, we've been talking about performance. When I was rewatching this movie just last night, I found it freaking insane that Adam Sandler did not win an Oscar. When I'm watching, I go, this is one of the best performances I've ever seen in a movie. I'm even underrated it after saying the same thing years ago. Going back to it, I think it's amazing. What do you think about Sandler in this film?
I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic.
Do you like Sandler? Do you like his comedies and stuff?
Yeah, I think he's hilarious.
And
it was so different.
So different,
right? It was so different from his other roles.
And I think it's good casting because what they do, like, when you think about, like, what this character is, Howard Ratner, I believe the name is, I think it captures a lot of like the persona of who Adam Sandler is. Because Adam Sandler, he plays like a lot of like, you know, crazy characters. But what he does in like all his comedies is I think he's able to like ground them into some kind of reality. And this film, it's like so much crazy stuff happens to this guy.
Yeah.
But because Adam Sandler, you're like, you know, even though this film is about a guy who basically defies fate and defies, in a biblical sense, defies God and is like constantly punished for it but has to keep defying it, you still root for him.
Yeah.
Because he should be a slimy character. You should hate this guy.
Yeah,
but
no, you
it's
don't.
It's Sandler. You love him. How can you not?
I thought his portrayal of the character was brilliant.
It truly is. I love this movie. I think great cast, Julia Fox, first time I ever saw her. Great performance as well. The other thing I really love about this movie is it's got this beautiful score. The score is like kind of captures like this cosmic feeling of like what you see when you look into the opal. Would you ever get one of those? Would you get one of those opals that they find in the movie?
Or what would I do with it?
Would you stare into it, feel inspiration like Kevin Garnett does?
I don't think I need. If I had the money for an opal like that, I'm not sure that that's what I would spend it on.
Okay, what about one of those gold Furby bling things that he's got?
Maybe that's more realistic. Yeah.
If there was any character or doll that you could turn into a gold bling, what would it be?
Oh, that's a great question.
I think it's one of the worst questions I've ever asked.
It's an interesting question.
Oh, thank you. That's better.
It's an interesting question.
Yeah, it's a weird question.
It is a weird question. You know, I don't usually use that word anymore.
Okay.
I don't use that word because people are always like, what's the weirdest thing a fan has asked? Or what's the weirdest thing you've done?
You might have a new answer for it.
Okay, now I know. The weirdest thing was...
What would you have as a Furby bling?
Okay, I'm going to throw it back on you and ask you what you would...
Probably it would be a DVD. I would just have a lovely blinged out full-size DVD.
Which DVD? Or just the disc?
No, it would be... I'd change it every day. I'd change it back. I would probably put my favourite movie. My favourite movie is Looking for Alibrandi, the Sydney set film.
Okay.
With Pia Miranda.
You're going to have to send me a list of movies that I have to watch.
You would like this one. It's about a teen girl that like is, she's finishing high school. She's about to go to university. It's set in Sydney. Great movie.
All right.
They're just like, you know, she grew up in like the Mediterranean community in Sydney. Go, ah, that's my life on screen. Mm. Sometimes a movie's a portal to another world. Sometimes it's a reflective surface to see your own life. And I go, wow, that's my life. There.
Is that what you're drawn to? Movies that kind of in some way represent your life?
Sometimes. I would say that gets me on a deeper level though. Like when I see something on my own experience, I go, oh, wow, I'm being seen. I'm being represented on film.
Well, to go back to your previous question, I'm going to probably just go for a dildo.
Wow, okay. Perfect answer.
I feel like that is what, that would be a great mantelpiece.
Yeah, absolutely.
For me. Yeah.
And that's like, that's big bling. If you've got like a big golden dildo with encrusted diamonds, come on, that's exciting.
Yeah, I feel like that would be the centerpiece.
Wow. Well, Howard Ratner, if you're out there, please make this happen. We have to make this piece. All right, before we get onto our weekly choices, I've got another question for you.
Okay.
Have you ever been a member of a video store before in your life?
I have.
Can you tell me about the video store, maybe the one you grew up with?
Yeah, I miss video stores.
Me too.
That was always fun browsing the aisles and when you're a kid trying to look back into the past the curtain.
Those beads, part them away.
It was very exciting when I could finally go back there and see what was... It was exciting to go back there, but when you actually see what's back there, it's not...
Yeah, it's like horrible videotapes and stuff.
Yeah, and everything's R-rated. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't actually get to see really explicit stuff, or at least in the video store that I went to.
What was the store that you went to? What was your video store?
It was a Vizzy? I think it was a Video Easy.
Video Easy,
yeah, I think it was a Video Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any like other memories you had going in there? Any other discoveries that you made there?
Oh, I just remember going in and getting the lollies. The lollies. That was where we got all our lollies.
That nice stale popcorn.
Yeah, the red frogs.
Wow, red
frogs.
Yeah,
killer pythons.
Wow, okay. In that nice jar sitting atop the counter.
Yeah, you could pick out like 10 cents for a red frog. I love the killer pythons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We got to get a jar of them on here, on this counter. I don't know why we don't have one.
The milk bottles or the Coke bottles.
Wow, Coke bottles and milk bottles?
Yeah.
Which one do you pick? Or you go both?
I like the Coke bottles because they always had that kind of sweet and soury. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love that. Holding on to light. You get like the dark and the light. I think it's one of the most aesthetic candies.
Yeah, they are Coke very bottle. Aesthetic.
Very aesthetic.
Yeah.
And people don't normally like milk bottles. I love them.
Milk bottles, they're okay. You know what I hated? The bananas.
Oh, yeah. They're
weird. The worst.
Have you ever heard that you know how the fake banana flavor doesn't taste like banana?
No, it doesn't.
Do you know what that is? I learned this recently and it blew my mind. Apparently, like 100 years ago, there was a banana that tasted like that and it was a really popular banana.
No, it wasn't.
And people ate it to death.
No.
Like they ran
they
out of that banana.
It.
They extinctified
Thank goodness.
It. Yeah, well, now all you have is that crappy little chalky candy.
It's horrible.
That
it's horrible. It's horrible.
It's horrid.
It's
and it's a textual nightmare as well. It's like, what are you, a marshmallow gone hard?
Yeah,
no, thank you.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, I'm glad we got into the candy section.
Yeah. You say candy? We say candy
lollies?
I say lollies.
Mm-hmm.
But if I say lollies in the US, they have no idea what I'm talking about. So it's candy in the US.
Okay, we've got a lolly section.
Yeah,
it's a lolly section.
Yeah.
We're not going to pander to the US here.
No.
It's a lolly section.
Okay.
Weekly.
Well, I'm going to go back into that beaded curtain section with you.
Okay.
Because the next pick you've got, we actually had to put it into that section because it features unsimulated sex.
I guess, it would be back there.
We have to. Legally, we had to put it in that section.
Fair enough.
And also, we made a sting for adult films and we have not had a chance to use it yet.
Okay.
So we have to make our money's worth by putting that sting up in the podcast. But you've chosen Gaspar Noé's Love.
Adult.
Yeah, I loved this movie.
I think the sell of this film is 3D.
Yeah.
Unsimulated sex.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I guess, a romantic drama. Can you tell me about when the first time you saw this film?
Oh, I actually don't remember the first. I have seen this film a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
Have you seen it in 3D?
I never saw it in 3D. No, is it worth? I mean, that cum shot. I feel like it would be. I mean, I see that every day at work. I don't really need to see
this.
Yeah,
you've seen this movie in 3D. You've lived it in 3D. I saw it in 3D, and I remember like about like probably a couple minutes into the movie, because it's like it's a fascinating experience to see sex in 3D. Because when you're seeing 3D, it's like Avatar or like some shit like that. So like seeing a movie that's, I guess, a presentation of real life in 3D was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And then I would say there was a part of me just in the back of my brain go like, what if I'm seeing this in 3D and my brain, like this part of like a primal part of my brain goes, you're having sex right now. Like what would, that would be so embarrassing. And they go, well, I'm in an audience of like 200 people. What if they all have that? What if we go crazy? And I was like...
Or like a whole orgy breaks out.
Or just a few weird guys make a few scrones or something in the audience. I was worried I might make a moan during it, but thankfully I didn't. I was able to check myself. I realized that I was in reality in a room. But I remember seeing it at the Sydney Underground Film Festival. Mm. I think it would have been the only time that it screened in 3D in Australia. And maybe it's only like film screenings as well. And it was like the first film festival I ever had like a... part in helping present movies and like hosting Q&A's. So this film and that experience, it's very, I don't know, it sits in place. I'm smiling thinking about it, which is a weird movie to be smiling thinking about.
No, you should be smiling thinking about this movie. Look at that. Even look at the cover.
I know. It's a dirty cover.
Yeah. Why did you pick this movie?
I found it such an interesting choice for you.
Really?
Well, you know, we're using the word interesting interchangeably now.
Oh, it was hot.
Yeah.
I actually really like gritty films that deal with sexual topics. Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. I loved the portrayal of sex in this film. I think it's different from what I'm usually portraying in porn.
Mm.
I thought it was incredibly erotic. I loved watching her jerk him off on the bed. I thought that was just...
It's one of
so
cinema's
sexy.
Great special
effects.
Yeah,
I loved that. Yeah, I thought the story was great. I thought it was really engaging. I love films that deal with dark matters and sexuality and are willing to get dirty.
And the sexual like power play as well, how power dynamics shift in it.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. I can't stop looking at this cover.
Yeah, you can keep looking at it.
Love the wetness of the tongue.
Oh, absolutely.
Well.
Yeah. Really, you see those spittle lines?
Yeah, we love that in porn too.
Oh, wow.
We love to get a backlight, do like a really sloppy blowjob, and the backlight like comes through all the spit. Looks great.
Is there a special technique to make that line happen?
Yes, there is. Deep throating is the first thing, because then you get that really sticky spit from the back of your throat. So deep throating.
The true stuff, the true spit.
Holding the dick down in the throat for as long as possible so you can really get it out.
Oh,
that
wow.
spit is so much different from the spit that's
Absolutely.
Just sitting in the front of your mouth.
And I've always said that.
Right?
Yeah, I've
and
always said
it,
that.
It kind of, it's so, like the viscosity, mm-hmm. it's like, it's so stretchy and thick, so you can kind of come off the dick and have this long, you're still connected to the dick.
Wow, that's it. That's the intimacy, the connection never ends.
And then if you're struggling, the dry mouth spray, if you've ever used
that. What's dry mouth spray?
It's biotene, so it's like, so you can get like biotene mouthwash, which is for dry mouth. They make a spray.
Whoa.
So you spray that in and it produces more saliva. So
oh
if you're struggling to produce your own, you can spray that in.
Wow.
They also have little lollies for that as well, but I prefer the spray.
If you think someone's going on a first date and they want that magic movie kiss where there's just that little spittle line, should they spray that just before going in for it?
Maybe just one spray. You don't want the kiss to be too wet either. I feel like there's a line. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want it dry, but you don't want it super sloppy. You don't want drool coming.
You don't want to drown your partner in your spit.
Exactly. I think just a little bit of
just
spit
a little
is
bit.
Nice.
An enhancer, if you will.
Exactly. And that spray is like minty fresh as well.
Oh,
so
really?
If you've had dinner, you know, a little spray.
You can sneak it by.
Yeah.
In case people haven't seen this movie as well, I maybe give a little plot synopsis. It's about an American who lives in Paris. And he's in like a highly sexually charged and emotional relationship with this woman. And then there's like a third person enters the relationship. And it's kind of like the way power dynamics change, the way that emotional aspect works to sex. Can I ask you, like, did this film having unsimulated sex affect your viewing at all? Did it like enhance the viewing for what it was?
It enhanced it for me. I don't think it was a distraction. I think that it was, it played into the storyline. It wasn't just sex for sex's sake, which I quite like sex for sex's sake. But
thank you.
Yeah,
all these kids are saying sex scenes should not be in movies. I think every movie should have one sex scene in it, no matter what the movie is.
I don't want to see the fluttering curtains. I want to see the sex. You know, the zoom out. Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah,
show
stay
it to me.
On it. Stay on it.
I want to see how these characters would fuck each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Can I say, did this inspire you at all, like, to go to, like, what you want to see a direction porn go into, or a direction mainstream cinema want to go, or something that you want to do?
It inspired me in, like, okay, so we have kind of certain positions in porn that we kind of hit in every scene, which is great. I mean, these positions open you up to the light. You get to see the penetration.
They're beautifully aesthetic.
They're aesthetic. And they're a lot of the times they're classic positions that people will do at home, missionary, doggy, you know, riding. So we hit those positions. But seeing, like, the way she jerked him off, for example, going back to that, that's not how... that's not the way you would jerk someone off in a porno. And for me, it just got me thinking, like, okay, what different ways, like, what different positions can I implement in my own work?
Wow. And to capture that reality. Because it is, when you see that scene, it's not like, it's aesthetically beautiful because it is capturing the reality of that kind of thing. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. The 3D cum shot must be seen. We'll say that.
Yeah. That was fantastic. Really captured, like, that's one of those movies, like you were saying, like, that kind of, like, you know, seem like your life, so it's very, like, relatable.
Wow, okay,
Oh, it's coming up my face again. This is all the memories from that.
That's the reflective surface. Yeah, that's the mirror to
your
world.
Yeah, that's it. What? But, you know, this movie, it was hard. It was a hard pick for me because I also, I don't know if you've seen Lars von Trier's Nymphomania.
Of course I've seen it. Parts one and parts two.
Part one for me, that was a bit of a mirror. A bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to say.
Yeah.
But, like, definitely, like, that, that raw expression of sexuality. Hot.
Yeah.
That's another.
Okay.
Yeah, I really liked that movie.
Do you have any, like, favorite sex scenes in films? So, a bit of a question to spring on you, but it came to me just now.
Honestly, it's not exactly sex, but that jerking off. I don't know why. Like, that scene to me is like, Or there was that, I quite liked the sort of gangbang. Was in the Nymphomaniac, there was three guys that she had sex with in that one scene, I think.
I think so,
there was like, that was a, I'm going to have to rewatch it, but that was a really good.
That's your homework. You have to rewatch Nymphomaniac, get back to me. How many were in
it? Not a problem. Yeah. What's your favorite sex scene? Because that's another thing. In the list that you give me of movies to watch, I also want you to give me the best sex scenes.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah. One that came to mind straight away was, I'll give you a comedic one that I think is really funny.
Okay.
The sex scene in MacGruber. Have you seen MacGruber?
No.
It's Will Forte. It's like a parody on MacGyver.
Okay.
It's an SNL movie, but then it becomes like a parody of like 80s action excess films.
Oh, cool.
And there's a sex scene with him and Kristen Wiig where they're just sweating crazy. Like, it's the sweating is amped up, so they're just dripping on each other the whole time. And I just think that's, like, such a funny sex scene.
I don't think that's amped up. On porn sets, I can tell you that sometimes that is literally happening. I'm being drenched, like, rained on.
Well, maybe that's one that you have another experience. Yeah. Like, you're like, wow, that's real.
Wow, that's a mirror.
And then there's another one that I haven't seen this movie for, like, gosh, probably, like, nearly 20 years now. But it's like a coming-of-age film by Bernardo Bertolucci called Stealing Beauty with Liv Tyler. And she, like, goes to Italy for, like, a summer kind of thing. And then she, like, loses her virginity. And it's, like, in this, like, barnyard. But there's something about it, it's, like, it captures the romance of, like, losing your virginity, but also the... there's a reality to it and stuff.
That's,
but it's
not,
like,
as romantic.
Not as romantic, but it's just like there's something about that scene always stuck with me. I think I've only seen it once, but I was like, that's a really interesting sex scene where it was like there's purpose and performance in it and like to capture the story. And then when we're talking about Italian sex scenes, you can't go past freaking Call Me By Your Name. Like, the love and sex scenes in that are just so beautiful, I think.
I'm going to be catching up on a lot of movie watching.
Wow. Well, someone in Call Me By Your Name, they do ejaculate onto a peach and eat it.
Nice.
So very special.
Yeah.
It's the only movie that happens in. Well, mainstream movie. There might be others out there.
Yeah, I've definitely done, I did a birthday scene where I had someone ejaculate onto a cupcake and I ate that.
So wow, okay.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that's the next movie.
Yeah, it was nice. It added a little saltiness to the sweetness, which I love the combo.
A little savory note. Yeah, a little savory note.
A little umami.
That's so funny. All right, we've got your final pick. It is... another, I'll probably put this in the cult section as well. You've got some cult hits here. And this is a movie that I so strongly associate with the video store era that I grew up in. You've got Robert Rodriguez and Frank Miller's Sin City.
Cult.
Can you tell me about discovering this movie?
I just loved the cinematography, the graphics. Yeah, everything about this movie, the way it was shot, the black and white and the little colour moments, I just thought it was a great film. And it is, it's got its own grittiness too. Yeah.
And I think it's that artifice as well of like, because it's based on a comic book, graphic novel series by Frank Miller. And I think that like adaptation of kind of like, well, how do we make this look and feel like a comic book?
Yeah.
I think it's really exciting. And it's been a long time since I've seen it, but it was one of those ones where I truly just remember that poster. Like, just there was that poster where it's like Bruce Willis has got the gun. There's all these other heads in black and white, like that kind of, that really stark monochrome. And then there's those little bits of color in the movie.
Yeah.
But I remember it also had like one scene or guest scene directed by Quentin Tarantino. I've never seen anything like that. I was like, I got to see this thing. It's a whack movie. Did you ever see the sequel as well?
I did. I didn't like the sequel
not
as much.
Not as much?
Yeah.
Not as much.
Yeah, the first one for me.
But I've never seen the sequel, so
okay.
I'm going to take your non-recommendation. I'm just going to stick with
it. Look, it might be worth watching, but for me, the first one was the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, can I ask you, do you like that? One thing about this I find interesting, it's like that idea of an artificial city kind of thing. Do you like the fictional aspect or something more in line with like Uncut Gems, which I think is very much in a reality set city?
Oh, I mean, I liked both for different reasons. There was something, I feel like this movie, I mean, I could be wrong, I'm not a movie buff, but I felt like it was so unique. Like, I've never seen graphics like this in a movie, and if it existed before that, I just missed it.
Yeah. This is the one that, like, launches that kind of feeling.
Yeah, and I just found it so intriguing and so visually appealing and aesthetic. I loved, like, the rain. Like, everything about it was just, I don't know. I loved the way it looked. And then I liked the story as well. It's been a while since I watched it.
Because it's like those segmented stories, right? It's like multiple things.
And they all kind of like interconnect at some point. Yeah.
And I think as well, like the other thing I really dug about this film is where they tried to make the actors look like comic book characters for a little bit. Like Mickey Rourke, they put him under all these prosthetics.
Yeah.
And I found that such a fun way to transform something into a comic book movie, because it's just like right on the cusp is when there's so many films about comics and then the superhero movies coming around this time. So many movies about comics, but they just were not doing anything interesting with it. But this was just like, how do we make it feel like you're in a comic book?
You know, I only just thought of this as you were speaking. I was like, because it's that neo-noir look. And I was like, I wonder if part of the reason I loved this film so much was because I watched so much noir and like old movies with my grandpa.
Oh my God,
or like Humphrey Bogart. And like,
wow. Because it's like that, but for your generation. I love those Humphrey Bogart, like the big sleeve Maltese Falcon. And
even
stuff.
Like we would watch so many old movies, or so many old black and white movies, me and my grandpa. Like he loved Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, so we watched a lot of like old musicals. And I can't believe I just only made this connection at
this
moment.
That's what we're here for in the store, to make those connections. That's great. I love that you love noir, classic noir. Yeah. Would you ever do anything in that space? Would you want to do something
I'd
like that?
I'd love to. I wonder how it would translate into sex, though, in terms of, I'm thinking about like visually seeing the penetration when you've got such like the contrast and the lighting. a lot of people, because there was a film in the last couple of years that was released in black and white, like a porn film.
Oh, really?
And it was well received and it actually did win some awards. But the fan criticism of it was that it didn't, because they couldn't see the flesh tones, it felt like they couldn't put themselves in it as much. Like there's something about seeing the flesh tones in porn that makes it more visceral or real, or I don't know.
It must be like that thing of going, well, that's how I see it. So that's how it must be, like the primal type thing that goes through your eyes.
Well, that's one of the reasons that POV porn films are so popular, because, you know, it's really from the viewer's angle and they're looking down and seeing their penis doing the fucking. So I just
now that would be crazy.
I mean, that's what I mean, that's one of the reasons virtual reality is so popular too, because you really are looking down and seeing your penis doing it. So maybe if I did it, it would be more of like a passion project that I wanted to do, not necessarily like the fans might not.
I mean, I like the sound of it. I think that sounds cool.
I'd love to play a character like that, because that's kind of, it's kind of campy in its own way too, the way they sort of...
And it is sexy, like that femme fatale aspect of it all, because it's all that kind of like steaminess and that like very, you know, the intense flirtatious dialogue in those films.
Obviously, I'd cast myself as a villain.
Of course, you would have to be. You would have to be. Well, you know, Chinatown's one of my favorite like noir films. Vaginatown. There you go.
There we go.
You've got it.
All right.
I just want a credit saying special story by, something like that. Well, we've come time for your staff pick recommendation.
Oh, yes. So I'm excited for this.
I'm really excited for this because I was actually, because it's like such a nice list of films that you've got. And I was trying to go, well, what is like the connective tissue between them? I think noir is like an aspect to it, but maybe more in like that kind of crime sense. So I was like trying to, I really put myself in like just going like, what is this something that can tie these together?
Staff pick.
It is the directorial debut of the Wachowski sisters. Before they blew up the whole world with The Matrix, it is their 1996 film, Bound.
Crime.
So let me tell you a little bit about Bound. It is that kind of classic steamy noir full of double-crossing lovers, a bag full of $2 million in cash stolen from the mafia. But the neo-noir twist here is our lead is not Humphrey Bogart, but Gina Gershon as a tough female ex-convict that begins an affair with the seductive girlfriend of a mafioso. And I'd say this, interestingly, the film has been praised for its depiction of lesbian sex, especially for that era, 1996. And to choreograph those scenes, the Wachowskis collaborated with sex educator Susie Bright, basically forming the prototype for the now much more common on-set job of intimacy coordinator.
Yeah.
I think you really love it. It fits in with all the stuff we've talked about today, especially those neo-noir notes.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm absolutely going to watch this and let you know what I think.
So it's a movie they made just before they made The Matrix. It's what got them The Matrix. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Angela, is there anything you want to push our listeners towards?
Oh, well, you know, the best place to find me is angelawhite.com if you're an adult.
I think we can link to it. I don't know if we legally can, but you can look it up, angelawhite.com. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. And could I grab a killer python to go?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, is that a euphemism or...
both would be great. Yeah.
The last video store.
So that was our chat with Angela White, a rewind to one of my truly very favorite episodes of this pod. So glad to revisit it. It's one that's kind of oft in my head as well. And because of all the clips that I've ever put out on Instagram, I think it has like a million likes. And every time I open my phone, it's got a new notification.
Yeah, yeah. And on our YouTube, we get a new comment like every week of people watching it. So thank you for watching and listening.
And whatever else is going on. But
I don't want to know.
Truly love Angela. So fun. I would love to get her back on the pod.
Yeah, she's, come back.
All these people that we're doing the rewinds with, it is incentive for us to go get them to come back and join us again.
She came as she came on as a guest on one of the other podcasts I produce, and she was awesome.
Yeah,
this is a very different kind of podcast, but she was up for any kind of question and being silly, and she was really nice and short. She was so...
In my head, I imagine her as being bigger than me. How do you know? Can't remember.
I saw her and I was like, who is that small, beautiful woman? Oh, my God, it's Angela.
Yeah.
Because she has a larger-than-life presence, I just think I was surprised by how petite she was.
She is just the coolest. So yeah, hopefully we get to have her come back sometime soon. In the meantime, keep on supporting The Last Video Store. Hit us up on Last Video Store Batuta on Instagram. And what would you have recommended Angela based on her picks? I'm going to be popping that up either today or the next couple of days. I'd love to hear your comments on those. In the meantime, come check out All About My Mother at the Sydney Opera House Saturday Film Club. Tickets in the show notes, January 24th. And come see me on tour with VHS Around Australia, my new comedy festival show. In the meantime, I'll see you at the movies, baby. And let the record show, it's so hot with the air conditioning has broken in our studio here at Batuta Video. So we're doing our best to stay alive.